It's called The Greatest Story. It originally came out under the title Life of Christ in Stereo. It was written by a guy named Johnston Cheney. It was first published in 1969. And he had studied for the ministry. He planned on being a pastor. And in the course of his studies and in New Testament and that, the professors really questioned the veracity and the truthfulness of the New Testament, saying there's all kinds of contradictions in there. It can't be true. And so he basically walked away from the faith for a long time. He was part of World War I. When he got back, sometime later in his life, he contracted, I think it was tuberculosis, and basically was on what everybody thought was going to be his deathbed. And so he got thinking about his faith and what he'd walked away from. And so he was a brilliant guy. He memorized the Gospels in Greek so he could go back to the original languages and see if he could sort some of these apparent contradictions out. And in the course of 23 years on his deathbed, he managed to weave together the four Gospels into a seamless single narrative. And he didn't leave anything out. He didn't add anything to it. Stanley Ellison, who was a New Testament professor up at Western Theological Seminary in Portland, worked on it with him for the last 3 years, and then Dr. Earl D. Rodmacher also worked on it with him, just helping him make sure that he had everything correct and the way it should be. And so I'm going to be reading through that. And Luke will be the main one. We get a little bit interspersed from Matthew's gospel because he adds a detail that Luke didn't. But Luke was a physician, and he was a meticulous, kind of a historian as well. And he says here in the opening why he writes this gospel the way he did. And you'll notice there's a lot of detail in Luke. He says, many people have tried to report the events that were prophesied and fulfilled among us. Events first described by eyewitnesses and servants of the word. And he's referring to Jesus there. He says, therefore, I decided it would be good for me also to carefully investigate these things and write them down accurately for you, my esteemed Theophilus, so that you may have full confidence in the details you have been taught. And so he wants us to know that everything he's writing here, everything, the record about Jesus' birth and everything about his life is absolutely true and accurate. And so he begins giving his historic account of it in chapter 1, Luke 1, starting at verse 5. He says, in the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abia. His wife, a descendant of Aaron, was named Elizabeth. Both were righteous people in God's sight, living by the commands and rules of the Lord. They were childless, however, for Elizabeth was unable to have children, and both of them were elderly. One day Zechariah was carrying out his duties as priest at the appointed time for his division. According to the priestly custom, Zechariah's turn came to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. While all the people were praying outside, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Zechariah was startled to see him, and fear overcame him. But the angel said, don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You are to name him John. He will give great joy and gladness, and many others will celebrate his birth. He will be great in God's sight. He is to take neither wine nor strong drink, and even from his conception, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many in Israel to the Lord their God. He will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and sinners to the wisdom of the righteous, to prepare a people made ready for the Lord. So he's talking about John the Baptist, who's going to make everybody ready to receive Jesus the Messiah when he's born. Then Zechariah said to the angel, well, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years too. The angel answered him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. I've been sent to speak to you, to tell you this good news. But because you would not believe my words, which will come true at the right time, you will be silent and unable to speak until all these things are fulfilled. Meanwhile, the people outside were waiting for Zechariah and were surprised that he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he couldn't speak to them. The crowd understood they had seen a vision in the temple because he made signs to them while remaining speechless. Sometime later, when his time of service was ended, he went home. Soon after, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and secluded herself for 5 months. And she said, "This is what the Lord has done for me, showing his concern by removing the disgrace I felt among my people." So Courtney and Alex are going to lead us in a response, singing, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus."
Yeah, sing with us, please.
Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, born to set Thy people free. From our fears and sins release us, let us find our rest in You. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth Thou art. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing. Joy to those who long to see the day spring from on high appear. Come Thou promised rod of Jesse, of Thy birth we long to hear. O'er the hills the angels singing news, glad tidings of a birth. Go to Him, your praise is bringing. Christ, the Lord has come to earth. Come to earth to taste our sadness, He whose glories knew no end. By His life He brings us gladness, our Redeemer, Shepherd, Friend. Leaving riches without number, born within a cattle stall. This the everlasting wonder, Christ was born, the Lord.
Imagine all the presents that are around the tree at your house, and then you've been waiting and waiting and waiting to open them, and then it finally time comes and you say, "I don't believe those are real. I don't believe those are for me." Well, that's exactly what Zechariah did, and that's what everybody, a lot of people, when Jesus was born did too. And so Luke tells us about the time when Gabriel visited Mary. He says, "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The angel came to Mary and said, 'Greetings, you who are richly blessed. The Lord is with you.' Mary saw him and was troubled by his greeting, wondering what it might mean. The angel said, 'Don't be afraid, for you have found favor with God. Listen, you will become pregnant and will give birth to a son whom you are to name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over the descendants of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.' Mary said, 'How is this possible since I'm still a virgin?' The angel said, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so the Holy One born to you will be called the Son of God. And listen, Elizabeth, your relative has conceived a son, even in her old age. She's already in her sixth month. She who was unable to bear children, for with God nothing is impossible.' 'I am the servant of the Lord,' Mary replied. 'May what you have said truly happen to me.' And then the angel left her." So Mary hurriedly left for the hill country to the city in Judah where Zechariah and Elizabeth lived. She came into Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. As soon as Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby inside her jumped. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and said, "You are more blessed than all women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Oh, why has God allowed the mother of my Lord to visit me? For when I heard your greeting, the baby inside me jumped for joy. You are so blessed for believing that what the Lord told you will really happen. We're going to sing Mary, Did You Know? And I want you to think about those words. That's a question. And think about Mary, and she's, you know, a young lady, and all the things that happened to her and were going to happen to her. How much of that do you think she really understood?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water?
Am I singing this right?
That your baby boy would save our sons and daughters. Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? And this child that you deliver will soon deliver you. And Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? Oh, Mary, did you know that your baby boy Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? And this the sleeping child you're holding is the grave.
So Mary said, "My soul praises the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has considered how humble his servant is. Yes, all future generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. From generation to generation, his mercy is lavished on those who revere him. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those whose hearts are proud and brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering the mercy he promised to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever." So Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned home. When the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, she delivered a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard about the abundant mercy the Lord had shown on her, and they joined with her in her rejoicing. After 8 days, they came to circumcise the baby. They began to call him Zechariah after his father, but his mother insisted, "That's not his name. He is to be called John." But they objected, "But there's no one in your family by that name." Then they began motioning to his father to see what he intended to name him. Zechariah asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." All of them were astonished. At that moment, Zechariah regained his ability to speak and began to praise God. As these events were reported throughout all the Judean hill country, everyone there grew afraid. They began to wonder, what sort of child will this be? And the Lord's favor rested upon the child. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to prophesy, "May the Lord God of Israel be blessed. He has visited and redeemed his people and has granted us mighty salvation through the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. He will save us from our enemies and from the snares of all who hate us. He will be merciful toward our fathers and will remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham. He will rescue us from the hands of our enemies so that they may serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness in his sight for as long as we live. As for you, little one, you will be called the prophet of the Most High God. You will go before the Lord to clear a path for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation and the forgiveness of their sins through the tender mercy of our God. His sunrise has dawned on us from above, shining on those sitting in darkness and in death's shadows. He will guide our feet in the way of peace. So John the Baptist is going to guide us to Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior. And the child grew and became strong in spirit. Then he lived in the desert until the day of his introduction to Israel. Matthew, in his gospel, adds a detail that Luke excludes. Matthew said, the birth of Jesus Christ happened like this. His mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, a just man who did not want to publicly shame her, considered whether he ought to divorce her quietly. But as he thought about these things, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the baby in her womb is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this happened to fulfill the Lord's word spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph awoke, he did what the angel of the Lord told him to do and took Mary as his wife, but he had no intercourse with her until after she had given birth to a son. And then Luke picks up the account. At that time, a decree was issued by Caesar Augustus requiring that the whole Roman world register for a tax. This first taxing occurred when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So everyone traveled to his hometown to be registered. Along with Mary, who was now pregnant, Joseph left Nazareth in Galilee and went to Judea to be registered in Bethlehem, the town of David, since he was descended from David. While they were there, the time came for her delivery, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. That night there were shepherds in the fields nearby who were watching over their flocks. Suddenly an angel of the Lord stood beside them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy for everyone. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you, Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." And then suddenly, with the angel, a vast number of heavenly hosts appeared, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people with whom he is well pleased."
Sing glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adore, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of the Virgin. Second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Well, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this mighty thing the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen this, they reported to everyone all that they had been told about this child. Those who heard the shepherds were amazed by the story, but Mary treasured these things in her heart, reflecting on what they might mean. Then the shepherds went back, giving glory and praise to God for all they had heard and seen, which is exactly as they had been told. 8 days later, at the child's circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time for Mary's purification had ended, a period specified by the law of Moses, they brought Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord as required by the law. And then the lot says, every firstborn male will be set apart to the Lord. So they came to offer a sacrifice according to the law, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now living in Jerusalem was a righteous and devout man named Simeon. He was waiting for the comforting of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. He was waiting for the Messiah. He was waiting for Jesus. And the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. The Spirit prompted him to go into the temple. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to comply with the custom of the law, Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God. And he said, "Now, O Lord, allow your servant to depart in peace according to your promise. For I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in full view of everyone, a revealing light to the Gentiles and a glory to your people Israel." Joseph and the mother of Jesus were astonished at what was said about him. "Mary, did you know?" Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, "This child is destined to cause the fall and the rising again of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be opposed. In that way, the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul as well." Also, there was Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. Anna was very old. Her husband had died 7 years after they were married, and she had lived as a widow for 84 years. She never left the temple, but served God by fasting and praying night and day. At that same moment, she came up and gave praise to the Lord, speaking about Jesus to everyone in Jerusalem who was looking for the deliverance. When Mary and Joseph had done everything required by God's law, they returned to Nazareth in Galilee, their hometown. Now, kids, this may come as a surprise to you, but Christmas isn't about Santa Claus, regardless of what they say in the Hallmark movies. It's not about Christmas trees. It's not about decorations. It's not about presents. It's the time that we celebrate Jesus' birth. And the miracle of Christmas isn't that we suddenly regain our faith in Santa Claus. The miracle of Christmas, probably the most astounding and most amazing miracle of all, is that somehow God became flesh and blood. He was born. He limited himself to a little baby wrapped in cloths that couldn't do anything for himself. Had to be fed, had to be held, had to be clothed, everything. Just like you guys. And he grew up just like you guys. And he wiggled and he squirmed around and all the things you do, he did as a baby. Have any of you seen God? I haven't either. That's because God is a spirit, isn't he? But what Jesus did for us so that we could know God and he could lead us back to God, because there's no way we could find him on our own because he is a spirit, is think about this. God became touchable. He became seeable. Mary was able to hold him. I love that song, "When you kissed your little baby, did you know you were kissing the face of God? When you held that baby in your arms, you were holding the great I Am, the one that spoke to Moses out of the burning bush," if you remember that story. That's what Christmas is about. That's what we're remembering here at this season. And we're going to do communion here in a minute. Now I'll go ahead and send you back to your parents in a second. But this little piece of bread, little piece of cracker, it's something that we can touch and that we can hold too, to remind us that on a day in our history, God became touchable, just like this cracker. I can touch it, I can feel it. In a minute, I'm going to eat it. And remember what Jesus said in one of his sermons. He said, "I am the bread of life." What's going to happen to you if you just quit eating and you never eat again? Not going to go too well, is it? Going to be a bad thing. You need to eat, don't you, to have life. And Jesus was saying, "You need me to have life." And when we eat this, it's like we're saying, I want Jesus in my life. And just like when we eat food, it becomes part of us and it gives us nourishment. It keeps us alive. It gives us life. Well, bringing Jesus into our life and receiving him the way many in the New Testament that we just read about received him also gives us life. But he didn't just come so we could sing Christmas carols and have presents and all that stuff. He came with a purpose. And that was, and we read it a few times in this story, that we'd done some bad things, and God was very displeased with us, and there was a serious punishment coming. But God loves us so much that he didn't want us to have to be punished. And so Jesus took that on himself. And so this little cup of juice, it's just juice, but it's a reminder, something also that we can touch and we can see and we can drink and taste, is that Jesus came so that we could be forgiven and that God would not have to punish us because he punished Jesus. And that's what that cross there reminds us of too, is that Jesus came and was born and all those things we sing about and remember, but he also came to give his life up for us so that we could be forgiven and live with him forever in heaven. So we're going to sing, Alex and Courtney are going to lead us in one more song, Oh Come All You Faithful. Before we do, here's what we're going to do, is I'm going to have you guys, we'll come up to the front and from the back and come up and get the elements and then go back down the center and just hold on to everything until we everybody is ready. And parents, there are some traditions that say that your kids have to be so old and jump through hoops and that in order, before they can do communion that. And I can't find anything in the Bible that tells us that. It does tell adults that this is a time for us to examine ourselves. But the only thing I can find relating to Jesus and kids is that he said, come on up here. I want you guys with me, when all the adults were kind of snarky about things. And so if you're okay with it, parents, you lead your children and allow them to come and participate in this. If that's acceptable to you, I'll lead that to you. So if you're comfortable with them participating, I am too, and I think Jesus is too. So while Alex and Courtney lead us in Come All You Faithful, by the way, that's a real invitation to those of you who maybe have been standing off from Jesus to come. Give your lives to him and take him into your life, just like we were talking about the bread and the juice, giving us life. You can do that here today, and you can even do it symbolically by participating in these elements with us. So as the kids, we sing, why don't you kids go back and find your parents, if they're still here, and then I'll have you come up for communion.
Come.
The night that Jesus was betrayed and later arrested, he gathered his disciples in a borrowed upstairs room where they celebrated the very last Passover supper together. And during that, the course of that meal, he took bread and he gave it a whole new significance. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And he told them to, whenever you eat it, remember him. And I think this is a very fitting thing to do on what we celebrate as Christmas Day, the birth of Jesus, to remember that I don't know how, but somehow the great I am, the one who spoke and the universe came into being, limited himself and became a helpless baby, and then later grew into a mighty Savior, able to take on the sin, our sins, and reconcile us to God. So as you eat this, remember that amazing miracle. And although salvation is free to us by the grace of God, as we just exercise simple faith and trust and commitment to Christ, it's certainly not cheap, and it was very expensive. It cost Jesus his blood shed on the cross for us so that we could be reconciled. And at that point in the supper, he took the cup and he gave it new significance too. He said, "This is my blood shed for you, so that you could be reconciled to God. Whenever you drink it, remember that." Just pass your cups to the outside and ushers will pick them up. Lord Jesus, thank you so much. After, 40-some years of reading about this, studying about it, meditating on it, I still have trouble getting my head around what it was you did and how you did it, limiting yourself the way you did, all the prerogatives of Almighty God, the Great I Am, the Eternal One, and somehow bringing all that into the form of a tiny, helpless human child who grew in every respect as we do and was obedient to you in all ways, which we're not. And eventually laying down his life so we could be reconciled to you. Lord, I pray that in all the glitz and glitter and everything that surrounds Christmas, that amazing truth would not be lost on us, that we would remember it. Thank you so much again. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to continue worshiping by taking our offering, so the ushers come forward and we'll give to the Lord. Walk for angels.
that your baby boy will one day rule the nations. Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb, and the sleeping child you're holding is the
so much for the truth contained in that song, that you are both great I am and man in the flesh.